Alleluia, alleluia. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him, they may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do please sit down. In our gospel today, we have part of a conversation which is recounted in the third chapter of John, a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he came to Jesus at night. Perhaps he was ashamed to be seen with Jesus, worried at what other people might think. Anyway, they had what is now a fairly famous conversation about the need to be born again, or born from above. The verses that I want to begin with this morning as we celebrate Holy Cross Day are verses 14 and 15. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So here Jesus is talking about his own crucifixion, his death on the cross, and also his exaltation into heaven. He is the Son of Man who will be lifted up. It will be both his suffering and his glory intertwined. And this lifting up is compared by Jesus to the incident we heard described in our reading from the book of Numbers, where Moses lifted up a serpent on a stick so that anyone who'd been bitten and poisoned by a snake could look at it and be healed. The implication is clear. Anyone who looks to the Son of Man lifted up may too have the gift of life. And then we have those well-known words in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And that's my point this morning. God loves us. God so loved the world. But often we can't grasp that. We imagine that God only loves us because Jesus died for us, as though God sees the sacrifice that Jesus made instead of seeing us, as though God can only bear to see us as we are, and to forgive us through a mechanism that creates the biggest possible sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Son of God, made on behalf of sinful humanity to an angry Father. Yet our Gospels tell us something different, I think. They tell us that Jesus was handed over to the religious and civil leaders, that ordinary citizens clamoured for his execution, that it was humanity rather than God demanding a price be paid, a sacrifice be made. Listen to what it says in Mark's Gospel. Jesus took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." I don't think that could be made any clearer for us. Jesus was handed over into human hands. We are the ones who demand ransom and sacrifice. I was thinking about that in relation to the marches yesterday in London and the sort of very human mechanism of needing somebody to blame, somebody to pin responsibility on for the pain and the difficulties, very real difficulties that many people face. This mechanism of needing a scapegoat and a sacrifice seems to play out even today, doesn't it? And yet religious teachers have continued to tell us that we have a God who's vengeful and who needs to be appeased. Perhaps you've been taught that over the years. Perhaps that's the God you grew up with in Sunday school. They've continued to preach a type of atonement theology that's based upon the need for a blood sacrifice to an angry, wrathful God. Well, I don't think I believe that anymore. I did once. I believe that Jesus came into history so we could finally give up false notions about God. Jesus had to come into history so we could finally see that humanity is wrathful, that we are the wrathful ones and the guilt-ridden ones, the ones who demand that someone pays the price, while God is the one who loves us and whose love can transform us. Jesus came not that we might feel or be condemned, but that we might have life, life in all its fullness, rather than living under the power of death and all things death-ridden. So the sacrificial system has ended. God has come to us as a loving and forgiving God. Sin is no longer a blockage or a chasm separating us from God's love. Sin is now defined as that which can be forgiven. And it is the offer of forgiveness that leads to our contrition, to repentance, to saying and being sorry. Not so that God can love us again, because God loves us already, but so that we might experience being freed, freed from our guilt and our fear and the power of sin and death, freed to be who we were created to be, and freed to truly live. That is why Christ emptied himself, was born in human likeness, humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Perhaps today you've come into church needing to hear this message. Perhaps you're holding on to real doubts that this forgiveness is for you, or you are so in need of the transformation that forgiveness can bring that you don't believe it's possible. If this is you, please don't leave church this morning without speaking to me or to Paul or to Mike or to Hill. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life.